Today, I want to deal with a very important topic. And that topic is, how can you become the person God wants you to be? How can you become all that God wants you to be? Now, I've been reflecting on this, and for me personally, I really long for God to help me to reach my full potential as a Christian. I long to be more like Jesus and to be more whole, to be less sinful and held back by my own sin, to become more like my Savior. And hopefully all of us can resonate in some way with that, that we long to be more like Christ. We recognize our failings, we recognize our weakness, we recognize what's holding us back, and we really long that Christ might transform us to be more like Him. Well, the reality is, in our world, especially the more we see on the news, it can be so hard becoming the person God wants us to be. When we're constantly faced with difficult, nasty, even I might go so far as to say evil people, people who might give us an incredibly hard time in the workplace, people maybe even in our own family who are relentless and don't give us any rest. It might be in any area of your life, but the reality is, the scriptures tell us, and we see it all around us, that people who don't follow Jesus, people who can be our opponents, people the Bible says are evil, are all around us. And it can get us down in our faith, can't it? When we feel like a constant bombardment, even if it's simply by watching the news every day and seeing an incredible amount of, and it's seemingly an increasing amount of evil in our world. It just seems overwhelming at times, doesn't it? And it can definitely discourage us. I find that I can't watch all of SBS World News because there's a point where I can't take it anymore. I've just had enough of war and murder and rape and pillaging and evil. So how do we get past this problem of evil people, of wicked people, and actually become the person God wants you and I to be? Well, I was reflecting on this, and the first person that came to my mind who really was not withheld by evil or wicked people, but was transformed by the gospel and launched out to help wicked evil people, was Jackie Pullinger. Jackie was a remarkable single young white female music student who went from England at the age of 22 with a one-way ticket to Hong Kong, not enough money to return, feeling that God had called her to reach the prostitutes, the broken, and the gangsters with Christ. Now, let's just think about that. Guys here in the front row, probably some of you around 22, she dropped everything. She stopped uni, got a one-way ticket to a land back then in 1966, which was not so, it wasn't such a worldwide, you know, global world then, and left everything, her family and everything, and went there at 22 to reach prostitutes and gangsters. Now, it's an incredible story because what I love about it is she got past the problem of evil people by focusing on the Lord and in fact reaching out to the very ones who would threaten her safety. Let me tell you a story. Jackie was called by God, as I said, to Hong Kong to work amongst these people. And even though it was desperately dangerous, she would daily try to share God's love with them and that God can forgive them. But after 6 months, she'd gotten nowhere. In despair, she agonized, what am I supposed to do? If God has called me to be here, why aren't people responding? Then one morning, she realized what was wrong. She'd been telling people that God loves them, but actually hadn't been loving them practically. She hadn't been given, in a sense, Jesus hands and feet. I mean, sometimes we can tell people, particularly the poor, that God loves them, but if it's not seen in action, it seems like empty words, doesn't it? Particularly to these people. So she changed her ways. She started being like Jesus. So the next 3 months, and I quote, she spent herself soaking in scripture and prayer and being drenched by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Her new practical approach worked. She started providing food, shelter, healthcare, visiting prisons, speaking up for victims. These were the ingredients of her everyday life. And suddenly, slowly, more and more young gang members and prostitutes were radically saved. So much so that one of the head gangsters of the triads said, I'm going to send my people to you because I don't want them to be drug addicts either. And she said, you can send them, but if they get saved, I'm not going to say they can stay in your gang. They got to get out. And he even sent them still. He said, if they become Christians, they can leave. Now, that's not common in the triads, let me say. God did remarkable things. He transformed that walled city. And isn't it beautiful? She focused her eyes not on the people who were broken in the sense of they're wicked and they're terrible, but she focused on the Lord. And then with the Lord's eyes, looked at these broken people in love and compassion and transformed the world around her. She's a remarkable woman. And you know what's beautiful? Even though the walled city has been demolished 10 years ago, she continues to work at St. Stephen's Society, which has become one of the most successful drug rehabilitation programs in the world. Now, friends, why do I tell you this? Well, today Jesus will show us from the scriptures, just like Jackie, that evil people need not hold us down in our faith. Instead, we can become all that God wants us to be and even reach out to these very people who persecute us and make our life difficult. Though Nelson Mandela, I'm not sure if he's a Christian or not, the witness of his lifestyle in caring for the very people who could be called evil, who deeply persecuted him and was in prison for something like 27 years, he lived out an action of love and compassion, and it transformed the world around him, didn't it? Well, today, Jesus can empower us this way too. But in order to move forward in this victorious Christian living, we must understand weeds are inescapable in our lives. Weeds are inescapable in our lives. Now, I have a little garden growing. I love this little garden. I'm renting so it's not bigger than Ben Hur, but it's big enough. And I've got strawberries and tomatoes and cherry tomatoes. And I particularly like, I haven't got them at the moment, but I particularly like snow peas. I just pick them straight off the vine and they're crunchy. Have you had fresh snow peas off the vine? Praise the Lord for fresh snow peas off the vine, let me tell you right now. They never get to my pot, they get straight to my mouth. But what really annoys me, and perhaps any of you who are gardeners out there, is the endless weeds in my garden. Now, I can't spray because I have young kids, so it's all by hand, my friends. And it is painful and frustrating, and I get it when Adam was cursed and went, man, this is bad. Weeds are troublesome, and it's hard to get rid of them, and they're always there. They're always there, aren't they? Well, Jesus had something to say about weeds in our parable today. He said weeds are inescapable. He tells us, in a moment I'm going to show you the scripture, that weeds are everywhere and weeds are wicked people and they're unavoidable in your daily life. You can't run away from them. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Now, we're forewarned about this in Jesus' parable when he says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy, he's a sneaky enemy, came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Well, he goes on to be explicit. He says, the field is the world. Now, the world belongs to God. It's God's field. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. In other words, we shouldn't be shocked that evil people are everywhere. Because Jesus says, rebellious, self-centered, wicked people fill the world, fill God's world, fill God's kingdom. They're everywhere, just like the garden. Satan has sown these unbelievers into the world, just as God has sown us, his children, into his world. And this is not a new development, ladies and gentlemen. The Israelites had this problem. They were surrounded by nations that were pagan and idolatrous. The early church had this problem. You read Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Even in the church, there were incredible struggles. And until Jesus returns, guess what? There are going to be sinful, rebellious, difficult people all around us, even in the church. Now, it's easy to become impatient with God and with these people. We can even become discouraged when we feel like someone is relentlessly troubling us in our lives, can't we? And perhaps you might even have a person or people in mind that feel that way for you. Now, naturally, what do we want to do? We want to get rid of them. We want to pull the weeds, don't we? We want to, you know, we don't want to hire a hitman, but I tell you what, if they could go, that'd be great. They make our lives difficult. But although God has graciously saved us, he's still given all of us free will to follow him or not, hasn't he? Now, it strikes me that if our focus is in the wrong place, if it's on looking at all the evil, wicked people, focusing in the news on all the terrible people, focusing on all the people giving us trouble in our lives, of course we'll be discouraged. But if our focus is on the Lord, who will one day weed out his kingdom, then our attitude will be very different. See, how we focus on the Lord and not on weeds is really important. So let's come down to how do we focus on the Lord rather than weeds? A bit like focusing on the beautiful blossoms we have in our garden rather than those annoying weeds. Well, let's look at our next point, talking about how we focus on the Lord, not weeds. Our primary responsibility is to grow, not pull weeds. Is to grow, not pull weeds. Now, Jesus puts it this way. I'll explain this. The servants asked him, so asked the owner, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" That's the weeds. "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, let me ask you an obvious question here. Whose ultimate responsibility is it to pull weeds? Whose? God's responsibility. Whose is it? God's. That's good news, right? We're not the gardener. He is. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, it's God's ultimate responsibility to pull weeds, which points us to a very important truth. It is that it's not our primary responsibility to try and uproot evil people in the world or even in our lives. It's not our primary responsibility. It's not our focus either. That's God's primary responsibility. Now, though we should all play a part in seeking to be a light in this world and end evil in that way, we shouldn't focus all our energy in looking for people in the church or outside of the church to try and remove them. Sometimes I've found that some people almost are looking for an evil person under every rock. And their life becomes consumed with getting rid of the bad rather than focusing on the good. And what comes of that is a whole lot of bad and unhappiness. Now, certainly, even when we're dealing with people in the church who are like wolves, we should, there's a place for discipline and godly judgment. But our primary responsibility in this passage and others is to grow in our own personal walk with the Lord, to keep our eyes on him. This will guard us against being discouraged by evil people and will put our focus in the right place on the Lord. You see, if we focus on those people all the time, we're going to be unhappy. But if we focus on the Lord, who is the gardener and the weeder and the one who sows the soil, then we'll find peace. We'll find strength. We'll find joy. We'll find help in the midst of our troubles. Paul says this: "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." In other words, don't have anything to do with evil, false teachers and their false teaching. Instead, focus on growing in godliness because it has present and eternal value. Where's the focus? Godliness, not the stupid teaching and the silly people. How do we grow in this godliness? Well, by reading and meditating on God's word, of course. As Paul tells Timothy and us, he says this: "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood," he's speaking to Timothy here, "and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." Now, this is the kicker. "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So what's he telling us here? Let's focus our energy upon growing from God's word rather than looking for evil under rocks. Let's keep our focus on the Lord rather than on evil people. Now that's exactly what Jackie did, didn't she? And she transformed who? The people that were wicked around her. She was a light rather than them being darkness for her. Does that make sense to you? She was encouraged in the Lord and shining and living in the joy of the Lord, though it was hard, rather than being brought down by the wickedness around her in the walled city, which was like a den of thieves. Now, just before we move on, let me say this. When it comes to dealing with sin and evil with fellow believers, so not evil people, but with Christians, Jesus says, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, Jesus is telling us we must first deal with a serious and blinding sin in our own life before we can see clearly enough to help others with their trifling sins. So again, what's the point? Let's focus on God and growing in him rather than on wicked and evil. But so often in the difficulties and the hardships, our hearts cry out, will there be justice in the end? Do you ever feel like that sometimes where it's just so tiring, you just wish there'd be an end to it all? Just be some rest from it all. Just give me a break already sometimes. Well, the good news is there will be justice in the end. And this is our final point. Jesus reassures us our true nature will be revealed at the end. In other words, there will be justice. God will judge the wicked and the righteous, and he will make all things right. As Jesus, now, you know, let me just say this. I really don't like watching French films, even though I've got a French background. You know why? Because the endings are always normally bad and sad and awful. The French are very arty, so it's not like Americans where you know the good guy's going to win. Yeah, watch an American film like, woohoo, we're going to win, and it all ends well. But French films, you don't know what's going to happen. The good guy could die and everyone with him. And the bad guy's like, ha, 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 the end, le fini. You're like, what the heck? I pay good money for this. I wasted 2 good hours of my life. It's in French. It sounds romantic, but I don't feel very romantic right now, let me tell you. The good news is that the gospel tells us we're not living in a French film. We're living in an American one. Where the good guy wins. God bless America. You see, Jesus says the harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's pretty full-on language right there. But we shouldn't shy away from what Jesus says, and it's actually greatly reassuring to those who are faithful to him. In other words, evil people will be judged justly, which should both greatly comfort us, but at the same time, it should gravely warn us. For since, it said, we just read it, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. When I first read that, my first response was, what about me? Is there any sin I need to address? Am I taking sin seriously? Is there evil that I need to deal with in my life? Especially when Jesus takes sin so seriously. In Matthew 5, Jesus says this, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's a pretty vivid picture. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Whew, that's not light reading, is it? Now, right here, cutting off or gouging out this offending part of the body is a way of saying we must deal with our sin radically, We must deal with our sin radically. If we don't, Jesus warns us, there is judgment in hell. So we need to make sure that we've repented and that we have genuinely put our faith in Jesus. If we've repented and put our faith in Jesus, then we have the power to overcome sin in our lives. But if we have not, if we choose to go our own way and choose our own God, then we are in serious trouble. And we need to take these words seriously. We don't like to talk about this, but the good news is only good news because it's bad news without Christ. It's great news in Christ. So what about me? Is there something in your life, and I did a self-reflection, a self-stock take, if you like, that you think I need to get that right with the Lord? I'm not repenting of it. I'm saying sorry, but I just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Now, of course, there's grace. And we will stand before the throne right with him because of God's mercy and forgiveness. But Jesus says himself, if you love me, you will obey my commands. But for those of us, imperfectly as we are seeking to obey him. It's for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus. Jesus says this to us, and this is the good news. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We will be perfected and reflect no less the glory of God in heaven forever with our Father. That's pretty sick. How good is that? We will shine like the sun. Ever looked at the sun when it's in the noonday sky? And you can't, can you? Because you go, oh, too bright. And I always tell young kids, you say, don't look at the sun, it can blind you. And then, oh. Stop. We will shine so brilliantly that we will reflect the glory of God. That's awesome news, isn't it? And that is through faith in Christ, righteous because of him, and seeking to live for him. We will shine while we will no longer be burdened by the wicked, no longer burdened by those people. Set free. Set free indeed. This awaits all of us who have been made righteous in Christ and follow him. So let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord, not on people. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let's discover joy and strength as we meditate on God's word and grow in our walk with Jesus. And let's find great reassurance that we will be made right and one day shine like the sun in our Father's kingdom. I want to leave you with one verse. It's not on your screens, but it's on my heart. And Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. That's true. But take heart. I have overcome this world. And that's true for each one of us whose faith is in Christ. Isn't that good news today? In a bad news world? Praise the Lord.